The text I want to leave with you today is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. When I am weak, then I am strong. It's what's known as an oxymoron, when you put two words together which are completely contradictory. Mournful joy, hopeful despair are examples I've read recently. And here we have weak and strength. The children of Israel had been experiencing a very difficult time indeed. They'd been invaded by the Midianites, aided and abetted by the Amalekites, and had adopted a scorched earth policy, burning their crops and reducing the country to destitution and starvation. That was the situation when God raised up this man Gideon to bring rescue and comfort to his country. But Gideon had many lessons to learn if he was going to be used in this way by God. And we read, I think last week and the week before, about the training and the preparation that he received from God. There were three main lessons that he had to learn. The first was dependence upon God. Dependence on God. And this was brought home to him in a very vivid and dramatic way when his enormous army of 32,000, two army corps, was reduced to 300, little more than a company. And it served two purposes. It showed him, first of all, that the strength and the power came from God. And secondly, that the praise and the glory must go back to God for what he'd done. There was nothing very remarkable about Gideon. He was an undistinguished member of rather an obscure family. And this made him very surprised that God should use him, until he realized that it was God who was going to do the work. And I've often been struck by the way in which God uses quite undistinguished people to do a very great work for him. I think of Carey, William Carey, the cobbler who brought the gospel to India and opened the way for Jesus Christ into that country. I myself owe my Christian experience to a man I met 75 years ago this year, who helped me to see what Jesus Christ could do for me, who turned religion for me from a duty into a delight. Somebody at Cambridge, Adorn, once said to me that this particular man was probably responsible for more good in the Church of England in the last century than anybody else. And certainly but for him, we would never have heard of John Stott, of Michael Green, of Dick Lucas, and a number of others that I could mention, probably even Andrew Corms himself. And yet he was the most unassuming person. He had none of those gifts which normally appeal to young people. He was no games player. He had very little interest in the arts or music or drama. He was no scholar, but he had this remarkable influence for good of bringing people to face their need of Jesus Christ. When he died 25 years ago now, a number of us banded together and wrote a short symposium of his life. And I put a number of copies on the welcome desk at the back in case you'd like to take one. A Study in Spiritual Power is the title that we gave it. If you'd like to buy one, then just leave the money there. Or if you'd like to borrow it, put it back sometime in my pigeonhole when you've finished with it. He had to learn, Gideon, this great dependence upon God. And of course we know how remarkably it worked. And with those 300 men, he put to rout that enormous army of Midianites and Amalekites who had invaded his land. The second lesson that he had to learn was confidence. Could he be sure that this person on whom he was depending was really going to pull it off, was going to be what he professed to be? Two things, I think, probably convinced him. First of all, the promises of God. God had stated quite clearly that he was going to come to his help, and to doubt God was to tell God, in other words, that he was not speaking the truth. And then, of course, he had the experience, that rather strange experience of overhearing the dream which the enemy had and then interpreted as the invasion of Gideon's army on their camp. And we need this same confidence, don't we, if we're going to face some of the problems and the difficulties and the tasks of daily life. I wonder whether, as you sit there, something is running through your mind that lies ahead of you this week, and you really shrink and tremble at the thought of having to face it. Well, take great confidence, first of all, in the promises of God to help, and then in the experience, perhaps your own, perhaps that of other people, in being able to prove God's strength. I find it very helpful myself to read Christian biographies. I was counting up my books the other day, and I came across, I think, over 30 different Christian biographies, stretching from Wycliffe in the 14th century right up to C.S. Lewis in the 20th. You're going on holiday, some of you, very soon. What books are you going to take with you? The Bible, yes, of course, that goes without saying, or should do. But what else? Why not take a really good Christian biography? Leave that fascinating novel behind and take the biography of somebody like Wesley, Wilberforce, Newton, and any number of others that I could mention. And I think you'll find that it has a tremendously powerful effect upon your life as you see what God has been able to do through other people and what he therefore can do for you. Dependence, confidence, and obedience. This was the third lesson that Gideon had to learn, to carry out God's instructions carefully. How do we know what God wants us to do? How do we obey God today? We can't see him, we can't hear his voice. How do we know what his will is? How do we know whether that's the right person to marry? How do we know whether that's the right job to take? How do we know this and that? I think probably God speaks to us chiefly in two ways. First of all, through his word, the Bible. He never expects us to do anything that runs contrary to what he has told us there. And then, of course, there is our conscience. The Bible is our map. The conscience is our company. And when those, our compass, and when those two things combine, we can be fairly certain which way God is pointing. I read the other day that lovely verse in the Psalms, "Seek ye my face, thy face, Lord, will I seek." And this led to a conversation at lunch not long ago with some friends about the way in which you can tell a person's feelings and mood by looking at their face. They don't have to speak. That smile, that frown, that puzzled look, that wink, whatever it may be, will tell you more clearly than words how that person is thinking. Is there a lesson for us there? Do we need to study the face of God through Jesus Christ and see the expression that our ideas, our hopes, our plans may have on him? If there's a frown, we know we ought not. If there's a smile, then we go ahead encouraged and hopeful. So those are the three secrets of Gideon's great success, and they'll be the secrets of the success of our own Christian lives: dependence, confidence, and obedience. Solomon in one place says, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And if we weave those three strands together, we have a cord that will hold us firm in our daily Christian walk. Amen.